closer.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. I'm Tim Andrews. There's Dustin Lawler.
Hello.
Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
You guys in a good mood? I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, my second favorite baseball team won the World Series. Can you believe that?
The Red Sox won the World Series?
They're my third favorite team, and that's only by family association. Otherwise, I would still hate them. I don't know. I got over all that in 2004. It is nice, though, to be in a city and have that city's team win the World Series.
Did you stay up and watch till the end?
I did. I watched that, and then during the afterward or whatever, I fell asleep.
I went to bed after Freddie Freeman hit that home run.
Yeah?
Yeah. I figured that 7-0, they're not coming back from that.
Yeah, well, it was the Astros. They could. They're a team that could do that. Joe Buck, you know, Joe Buck, this could possibly be the last time you see Freddie Freeman in a Braves uniform. Shut the fuck up. And then, you know, John Smoltz just sitting there babbling. Next year, maybe it'll be on TBS or something other than Fox, but who knows? Joe Buck. I don't know. He's going to run out of blonde hair dye. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. The last time the Braves won the World Series, they were in it twice after they won it and lost both times to the New York Yankees. But, you know, that's a sad tale. I remember Jeff and I went to a Halloween party in 1999. I believe Jeff was Jerry Garcia, and I just made a costume to be a prick to all these Braves fans because the Yankees just swept the Braves in four games. But anyway, we don't want to open old wounds. There's a new future ahead, a nice young Braves team made up of scrappy veterans and young players. It's all fun and games, but congratulations. And we will talk about what was going on in 1995 when the Braves last won the World Series.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this now?
Housekeeping. Jeff and Dustin and I will be at CusaCon, which is taking place in Rome, Georgia. You can find all the information on the links. If you're listening today, if you got up Saturday morning and you said, I'm going to listen to Radio Labyrinth, whether it's on your podcast, favorite podcatcher, or if you're watching it on the YouTube page, get in your car and drive on up to Rome. Rome, Georgia. We'll be there hanging out with friends of ours who've been on the show before, Ming Chen. And also Brian Silverbacks will be there. A whole bunch of people will be there, and including Kerry Means, who we've never interviewed on this show, but I actually did I hung out with him backstage at Dragon Con one year. We did a table read for, not for Aqua Teen, I don't think, but it was for Squidbillies, and for some reason he was backstage. But anyway, yeah, we'll be talking to him, hopefully, and you can come meet these people, get autographs. It doesn't seem like it's going to be, I mean, it seems like it's in a place where there'll be space to walk around and stuff like that, but that's where we'll be. And I'll be hosting a panel with Ming and also with Carrie. So that'll be at 2:30 p.m. So as soon as my wife gets home from her job Saturday morning, I will turn Gil over to her and out the door I will go. Oh, we got a big congratulations. A couple of our favorite listeners, radios, got married over the weekend. I'm not going to say that we had anything to do with it because we didn't, but they are great people. Brian Gallagher Smith and Chelsea Now Smith are together, and congratulations to both you guys. And sorry we couldn't be there, but definitely very, very happy for you and wish you a long life together. Got to thank our guest this week on Radio Labyrinth Presents. That would be Pat McCormick from Golden Rage of TV. You can watch his YouTube channels. This guy is a wealth of information about classic television. And he's a music virtuoso, guitar player, and a composer, and an all-around interesting cat. And because we've spoken to him, it put a fire under my butt that we have to get BK on the air on the show. So we will be talking to him. Now, he does a radio show on Saturday mornings, I believe, with Alan Sanders from The Wilder Ride. They do a radio show So we will be talking with him soon. And coming up on Radio Labyrinth Presents, hopefully next week. It's tentative right now, but we know we're going to talk to him soon. So Adult Swim's Dave Willis returns to Radio Labyrinth to talk to us about the season, the final season of Squidbillies, which has been one of our favorite shows for well over a decade. When did that start? Like 2006? They've been on the air for a long time. It's a great show. And the news broke, replacing Stu Hansen, who was Unknown Henson, the previous voice, who went his own way, let's just say that, and shot himself in the foot with his shotgun. And because he's not a squid, it won't grow back. He's just done. They have Tracy Morgan filling in.
2005 it started.
Yes. Yeah, so it's been a long time, 17 years. So it broke. There's a trailer out that you can find. Maybe we can link it here. It's a funny trailer where they show different voices doing early. And I'm assuming that he's dead because they show a ghost. But, you know, you never know with that show. You'll have to watch it and find out. But if you're a fan, it'll be on the 7th, which is tomorrow if you're listening today, being the 6th. Or if you're listening to this 2 years from now, well, I'm sure it's on demand. But, yeah. Sure
it's on HBO Max 2 years from now if you're listening.
Yeah. If HBO Max is still around. So that's premieres on Adult Swim, same night as our guest from last week, Joe Pera, talks with you. That'll be on the 7th also. But I look forward to talking to him about it and how they ended up getting Tracy. I knew about it for a while. I just never let the cat out of the bag. You know, I knew that they were going to try to get him.
You cat hoarder.
A cat hoarder. I wish I was a cat. I miss having a cat. But you can't have a cat with a baby around, I don't think.
I still think they should have let you audition at least.
Well, I tried it. I couldn't get it. My boss said something to me last week. Like, why aren't you doing more? And why didn't they come to you? It's like, I said, because I don't try. I don't believe I'm entitled to anything. I don't try. And if I were like that, then I'd be like, they should come to me because I'm a genius and blah, 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 blah. And I can just, I don't try. I have my radio show. I have this and I have a life at home and I don't really put a lot of effort into doing anything else. And since I'm going to be turning 51 tomorrow, as we record this, if you're listening again on the 6th, I'm 51. And if you're listening 2 years from now, I'm 53. But anyway, yeah, they auditioned a lot of people, I believe. My favorite voice that didn't end up getting into the show was Meatwad. Dave doing the Meatwad voice. That would have been also funny if they hadn't been able to get Tracy Morgan. But excited for the final season of Squidbillies, premieres on 11/7.
They just need to animate early out and animate Meatwad in. That would be hilarious.
Oh, that would. I'm your dad now. I can't do it. You do a good Meatwad, don't you?
He uses his arms and everything to make like squid legs.
Meat squid.
Meat squid. Yeah. Squidwad. You should draw that. Maybe I'll draw it. I don't know. Squid meat. Oh, boy. So anyway, all right, that's the show. No, I'm kidding. I'm tired because I did stay up late last night. I don't usually stay up that late to watch baseball, of all things, but I've been real excited by the playoffs. All of them have been good. The Yankees and the Red Sox was good. I wasn't upset that the Yankees didn't win because I don't have that. Something weird. I don't have that thing anymore where, oh, if the Yankees don't win, I'm going to be angry and blah, blah, blah. I'm not like that actor from NYPD Blue. Is it Nick Turturro? Is that his name? He's one of those fans that's on Twitter. And when the Yankees are on every night, he gets all pissed if they don't win, and, you know, gets upset and crestfallen. I don't have that anymore. I just like to watch the playoffs, and baseball playoffs this year were super exciting. It was fun watching the Braves play. And so I started thinking, you know, like, the last time they won the World Series was in 1995, which is 26 years ago. And I was like, I wonder what was popular back then. So I went and found a list of the top 10 songs, some movies and some TV shows that debuted. And then these will really make you feel old, because I think back to 1995, to me, that was like, oh, that was 10 years ago, or that was 5 years ago. And because a lot of shit has happened in between then that I don't really care about because I'm old. But, you know, pop culture wise, there's series, there's animated shows, there's movies, there's music, there's books, there's stuff that we digest. But it's not like back then when we did everything and we knew everything, or at least I thought. But 95, I was a manager, and I've talked about this before, at a Bob Evans restaurant in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. I wore, you know, like a button up shirt with a collar and a stupid little clip on, you know, string tie. And I did all my clothes shopping at Value City because I refused to pay premium for a shirt that I was going to get dirty. And I walked around with a little a meat thermometer in my lapel, or no, in my breast pocket. And I had a little card with all my tasks for the day on it. And that's how I spent my days. 5 days a week, working 12-hour shifts at a sausage restaurant. And I ate like a pig, and I loved it because I never had to pay for any of it. And it was great. And then at night, I would take leftover rolls and biscuits, and then get up the next morning and go feed ducks at a pond. I was like living like I was 78 when I was 25.
Yeah, old soul. Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you guys doing in 95?
I don't even remember.
Are you still in Tortolo or Tortola?
No, I think I was living in Elmira by 95.
Were the Giants in the playoffs that? No, because I that was 96 or no, it was 97 when I came up and the Giants were in the playoffs. So we were driving around listening to it in the car. And you showed me your apartment in Elmira. So you were working at Artistic Greetings in 95?
I don't know. If you came up in 97, I only lived there for 1 year. So maybe I was just living in Mansfield.
Yeah, because my mom passed away in 96 and I didn't come up that year. But I did come up in 97 for Christmas. And I do remember that's you and I drove around. You had some sporty little car that was cool. I forget what it was. But we went out.
Eagle Talon then.
Yeah, it was something like that. And you had that apartment. And what I remember most about that apartment is how immaculate it was. How about you, Dustin? What were you doing in 95?
I was in a band at the time, and we were playing a lot on the road. The night that the Braves won, we were actually playing in a club in Valdosta, I believe, somewhere in South Georgia.
So you were playing that night?
Yeah. Yeah, it was... It was pretty neat. I mean, it was funny. The first part of the night, the crowd was, of course, watching the television, weren't really listening. But as soon as they won, I think even played another set afterwards, just because everyone was ready at that point. And it turned out to be a good night. But yeah, that's 26 years, man. That does not seem like it was that long ago.
No, it doesn't. I think that's, I don't know. Does this happen? Maybe it doesn't happen with you guys, but with me, it does. It's just like, everything that happened in my 20s just feels like it was a couple weeks or a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I guess I have stunted growth.
Yeah, it's the same problem with the internet. It's like all those friends you had at the same time. You want to talk to them like you talked to them the last time you saw them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't realize that they're 20 years past a different person at this
point. There are. I know. And you think, oh, you remember that time? Remember that time you did this? Remember that time you did that? And they're like, no, I don't remember that. Yeah.
Deny.
Remember that time we lived together and we got so high that a couple hours later, we woke up and I was in your bed and you went, dude, cog your own bed. That actually happened. The guy's like, dude, cog your own bed. And I'm like, what? Yeah, oh, yeah. I was just really high.
Do you remember the time we got so high that I saw a giraffe run across the road?
I wasn't with you, but I've heard that story.
You weren't? I thought you were with us.
No, you were with Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was in high school and there was a time where a bunch of us were submarining in a car and we pulled up to a intersection and someone tapped me on the shoulder and was like, man, you going to go? And I was like, yeah, as soon as this light turns green. And we were at a 4-way stop sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
We just turned around and went back to the house we were at.
We're waiting for the stop sign to turn green, man.
It was funny. Every time I hear that joke, I was like, I've actually done that.
when you were performing on that show, were there old men walking around putting toilet paper in their ears?
No, not really. A lot of those, that was a college town. So, I mean, it was one of those weird places where you have to have a membership.
Oh.
You know, some counties have that set up where you have to have a membership to get in the bar.
All right.
And,
okay.
I remember it being a fun night, but I guess that was the last time they had won one, but yeah, they'd been back twice since then.
Yeah. 96. They started out, they won the first two games and then the Yankees swept them. You know, they won four in a row and then they came and then in 99, they got back in and they were playing the Yankees. And I remember Jeff, you know, rooting for the Braves. And we were living together at Caliber Springs in Sandy Springs and the Braves ended up sweeping. And that was, the Yankees ended up sweeping.
So they hadn't made it to the series in 20 years.
No, they haven't been. The last time they made it to the series was 99. But they always had teams that were you know, just it was the luck of the draw with the playoffs. I mean, they were there for years. I mean, throughout the 90s, they were in the series, or always there as a playoff team. But that kind of faded away in the 2000s, I guess. But they've always fielded a competitive team. I'm just really happy to see those guys, especially given the fact that Major League Baseball took the All-Star game away. Yeah. And then the World Series ends up being in Atlanta, and it's fantastic. Yeah,
how come they couldn't win while they were here in town? That's what I was mad about. They kept having to win on the road.
Well, you want that. They won. Didn't they win two?
They could have clinched it when they were here, though, and they didn't.
Could have, but I mean, last night was a nice power display. That's a weird ballpark to hit to, you know, that center field or that center right field is weird. It's like the side of a building, and you know, you always, guys end up getting long doubles or sometimes triples if they're fast enough. But that's not a park you can easily hit a home run out of to center field, even though we saw a couple of them. But I don't know. I wish they had won here. It would have been great. But, you know, the parade will be Friday. And so they're going to split it. I believe it's going to be downtown. I mean, if you're listening to this, it's already happened. So I hope you enjoyed the parade wherever it was. I always think of it like we're live and all that.
If you're listening in 2 years, watch the parade on HBO Max.
Yes. Or the series about the parade on HBO Max. We don't know what happened.
So congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. Let's dip back in the 1995. Now, since it's almost Christmas season or holiday season, but everybody's going Christmas shopping, if most people are anyway. The top Christmas items of 2021, I had no fucking clue. The top items of 1995, the original PlayStation. I guess it was beige, right? The original beige PlayStation. Was the top toy. And then a couple of other ones were mostly collectible stuff like Pogs. Remember Pogs? Well, they're back in elf form. I was too old. I was 24.
I never got into Pogs.
But I went to, there was a mall near Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. I forget the name of the mall. It might've been Cumberland Mall. But I went there to see movies, and right outside of the movie theater in the arcade, they had a big thing of Pogs. And I noticed that there were Simpsons Pogs. So I bought a ton of them and I had all of them, but I've since lost Homer. I think I put Homer in a frame or something, but I've lost one or two of them, but those are the only ones I ever bought. And of course I didn't play. My slammer was my left fist. It wasn't, you know, the slammer was the big hard thing. I don't even know how you play Pogs. Dustin, you're younger. Did you play?
I didn't even know what Pogs were. That was the thing. This was 95. From like 93 to 2000, I really kind of stepped out of collecting anything or, you know, doing anything other than music for there for a while.
Wasn't it like flipping though? Because
that's what I heard. Everybody kept comparing them to those things on Squid Game where they were slap them down on top of one another.
They used to. It comes from milk caps. These are little.
Right. When we were in like elementary school, though, we would flip baseball cards.
Yeah. Yeah. And ruin all of them.
Yeah. And you'd wreck them. But like if they fell down on top of the cards, you got to keep those cards. It's kind of like a similar thing.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The cards we were using when we were flipping cards in elementary school were from 75, 76, 77, 78, all the way up to 80. So you had 5 years worth of baseball cards. The stars in those series and those sets, those cards, if they're in good condition, go for thousands and thousands of dollars. Like you had George Brett, Robin Yount, Gary Carter rookies. Those are all 75, 77. You have Dale Murphy rookie. And I mean, on and on. Eddie Murray, all these people and all these cards with all these classic Hall of Famers. And we were just whipping them against the wall. I remember like we had Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw because I bought football cards too. So yeah, what a bad idea it was, but it was fun. And you know, sometimes the games would go on forever and then you land that card and you get to take them all home after wrapping them up in a big rubber band and ruining the edges even more.
Wow. Right. So we just pitched quarters at my school.
Gambling. So
we did like who can get it closest to the curb or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So according to Wikipedia, the players each have an equal number of milk caps, build a stack with the pieces face down. Players take turn throwing their slammer down on top of the stack, causing it to spring up and the milk caps to scatter. Each player keeps any milk caps that land face up. Okay. So that's why these Pogs had like a, you know, like a cool thing on the front side and then nothing on the back. So it was kind of like that. But again, we were too old. Beanie Babies were the other big collectible that started in 95. That really, really caught on. And then
the currency of the pantsuit people.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, those women went nuts. I dated a girl in the late 90s who was obsessed with them. I was driving her all over the city trying to find ones with the right tag. And then she would like obsessively look through all the tags at these things. I'm like, what the fuck? And then the last two. Oh, the funniest thing to come out of the Beanie Babies was the Jimmy Kimmel crank anchors call where he's doing Karl Malone. What about the Beanie Barbie? You can find that one.
Yeah.
There was a good dark side of the 90s about those Beanie Babies.
Too. Yeah, that was a good episode. Let's see. And then two others I don't know anything about. I looked them up. They were like girls' toys. Sky Dancers. Don't know what that, like ballet.
Remember those. The only remember those because there's a viral clip of some girl like Christmas morning firing one up and it spins into the air and goes right into the fireplace.
Nice. and Baby All Gone, which I guess was like, you know, one of those dolls that you feed. Weirdly. No. Let's see. The top 10 movies of October 1995. You guys tell me if you saw these movies. Some of them I don't remember. Seven was a good film.
Oh, yeah.
What's in the box?
In the box.
What's in the box? Kevin Spacey, man. Creepy as F in that movie.
I was in Tortola when Seven came out because I saw that in the movie theater down there. So
you must have still been there in 95.
Yeah.
Get Shorty. I saw that movie. A lot of these movies I saw by myself at this theater. Or sometimes I'd go with my friend Pat Kelly, who worked at the Unimart with me.
Yeah, now that I think about it, this 95, when I was in the band, when I was off the road, I was at Blockbuster. So yeah, all of these that came out while I was working there.
It's Shorty. What a great movie. First time you saw James Gandolfini in a film, I think.
And that one was big because Pulp Fiction had hit and everyone knew that he was a co-writer. So he jumped on that.
Yep. Assassins, that I don't know.
Antonio Banderas.
Ah, who's the female in that? They always had their love.
I thought it was Michael Douglas's wife.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What's her face? Yeah. We have horrible memories. I'm thinking, you know, when I think about her, I think about Gilbert Gottfried and Norm Macdonald talking about, I would get ass cancer just to like, remember that?
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw Assassins.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. No, I never saw it. Dead Presidents.
Yeah, that was the bank heist movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Here's one we all saw. How to Make an American Quilt.
I don't think I saw it. I know what it is, but I don't think I've watched it.
Yeah. Let's see. To Die For. What a great movie that is.
It was good. True story.
Yeah. Well, not really.
Well, and based on a true story.
Pamela Smart was the inspiration for that. Pamela Smart, the woman who had the kid, you know, shoot and kill her husband. You know, one of those early teachers banging their kids becoming sensational. But this movie was great. You had Nicole Kidman, you had Matt Dillon, you had Joaquin Phoenix, and it was a good film. Who did that? Gus Van Sant? I think that's a Gus Van Sant film.
Sounds right.
Ileana Douglas. Fantastic. Great movie. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. Devil in a Blue Dress. I think that movie had
Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel. Never seen it. Now and Then, I don't know what it is. And I didn't Google some of these because I didn't. Now and Then. Do you remember that film?
I remember the box.
You do, from Blockbuster. Now and Then film, 1995. Let's take a look at this. Oh, I can't believe I didn't see it. Thora Birch, Christina Ricci, Gabby Hoffman, Demi Moore, Rosie O'Donnell, and Ashley Ashton Moore. I can't believe I didn't go see this movie.
It was the girl movie of the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants before the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Exactly.
They need some pretty big pants. Yeah. It's not nice. Sorry, Rosie.
The Lane Bryant edition. Yeah.
The Big Green, some Disney movie about soccer.
Yeah, they were trying to do a soccer version of The Sandlot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never saw it. But that kid, that looks like a kid from The Sandlot.
I think it is.
Yeah. And last but not least, Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, which I think is the last of the original sequels before they started making the other ones.
Yeah, that's the Paul Rudd one.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Tommy or whatever his name is. Yeah, that's where they brought in the whole druid storyline at the end of it and kind of ruin the whole series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's back set to rights, even though the new one sucked. Okay, 1995 television show debuts. These are shows, I mean, there was a bunch, but these are the ones I picked out thinking that probably we all watched them, or at least some of them. Star Trek Voyager. That was a good series, a good continuation of the original Star Trek feel. It had that Next Generation feel with all sorts of wonderful things, including a sexy Borg.
Was it the first spinoff after Next Generation?
No, the first spinoff after Next Generation was Deep Space Nine.
Okay. I didn't know which one came first. Yeah.
News Radio, which is a sitcom that I really loved.
Yeah.
The late Phil Hartman, Joe Rogan was in it. Andy Dick. Yeah, Andy Dick. And the star, of course, David, what's his face? From
Dave Foley.
Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall.
Moira Tierney.
Yep. Whose father is...
Lawrence Tierney from
deceased, but yeah, everybody
Reservoir
knows
Dogs.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs and Seinfeld, Master of the House. JAG, are you a JAG officer? I never watched JAG.
I never saw a single episode of JAG or any of the spinoffs.
Yeah, me either.
Nope. JAG, Judge Advocate, blah blah. I don't know what I mean.
I just
Judge
knew it was like a military or a Navy lawyer or something, wasn't mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
Yeah, and people only watched it because it had that lady in it with the big boobs. The next one I really liked, and the show didn't last very long, was Slider.
I love Slider. Yeah,
that was a good show.
Jerry O'Connell or O'Donnell. Jerry O'Connell or Jerry O'Donnell. You know O'Connell. Who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And and I can't think of anybody else other than Gimli, the dwarf from whose name I don't recall. Aren't I great? You have Mad TV. Remember that? Mad TV when it debuted in 1995. I loved Mad TV. I watched it whenever I remembered to. The Drew Carey Show, another fine sitcom. Very, very funny. Always worth a laugh. Had a great boss who the actor became the guy who played his boss ended up hosting that late night show, which was fantastic. Probably one of the last really good late night talk shows.
Craig Ferguson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Show with Bob and David. Began on HBO.
Wow, and, it was 95.
Yeah. And then Dr. Katz was on Comedy Central. So, yeah, those are some of the TV shows. Love all those shows. And again, it feels to me like they were just on TV a couple of years ago. And now we're going to do the top 10 songs of the week ending 10/28/95. I'm Casey Kasem. Coming in at number 10, Natalie Merchant. She was a big star for many years with her band 10,000 Maniacs. And then she went crazy solo and had a big hit with Carnival. At number 9 is a song that Tim Andrews couldn't pull out of a hat. It's called Back for Good by Take That. Do either of you know that song?
No.
That is not ringing a bell, no.
But it was the number 9 song for the week ending 10/28/95. Coming in at number 8, Hootie and the Blowfish with I Only Wanna Be With You. Hootie and the Blowfish. Remember them?
It seemed like they never went anywhere. I mean, they're still here.
They still tour. Darius Rucker is a country singer. Coming in at number 7, Tell Me, it's Groove Theory. The first in a number of hits that lasted till this. No, nobody knows who Groove Theory was. If you know who Groove Theory was, I'll eat my own corpse. Here's one that people will remember. Sophie B. Hawkins has a hit every 10 years. This one's called As I Lay Me Down. And boy, when I was there with my crazy weirdo wife from Cheers, I was thinking how much I'd love to lay down with Sophie B. Hawkins. At number 5, Michael Jackson in the top 10 with You Are Not Alone because there's a creepy child molester in the room with you. Have some Jesus juice. Dear Casey, my son spent the weekend with pop singer Michael Jackson. He came home with wine stains all over his onesie.
Now we're millionaires.
And now we're millionaires. But oh, wait. It's 20 years later, and some producers from HBO called and asked us to be in a documentary and violate. Never mind.
Can somebody please take this chimp?
Bubbles is dead. I killed Bubbles with my bare hands. I strangled the chimpanzee. He was mighty. He tried to bite off my genitals, but I was stronger. It's the Lebanese in me. At number four, he's not from a carnival or an aquatic circus act. His name is Seal, and he has cuts in his cheeks. But he had a great song called Kiss from a Rose. Maybe he was kissing roses and the thorns cut his cheeks. Or he had cystic acne. I never had a chance to ask him. But Kiss from a Rose was a theme to a movie. I think it's one of the movies that you mentioned earlier. Maybe Assassins, but I don't know.
I thought it was Batman Forever.
Oh, maybe it's from Batman Forever. Coming in at number three, Michael Jackson's twin sister, Janet Jackson. Remember when she got seared with an iron on Good Times? Well, she wrote a song about it called Runaway, and that's our number three song this week on the American Top 40 Countdown. At number two, a song that was covered by Weird Al Yankovic, or actually parodied by Weird Al Yankovic, Pissing Off the Rapper. I would have hated to piss off Coolio back then because he had clout. Now he does commercials for shoes. Coolio with Gangsta's Paradise, from that movie where a white teacher goes into a black school and makes everybody like her by being hip and cool. Because only an old white lady can put people on the right path. Gangsta's Paradise. And at number one, Mariah Carey and Fantasy. And I've often fantasized about Mariah Carey, those gigantic breasts and that high-pitched voice. Boy, I wanted to make her scream. And I'm Casey Kasem, and that's the top 10 Billboard songs of the week from 10/28/95.
We're going to take a break and come back with news and shit. Hey, you hungry? I got an idea for you. Why don't you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro? That's Atlanta Pizza and Euro. In Conyers, Georgia. That's right. They have delicious pizza and delicious gyros. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done a couple of shows there. We've done a couple of meet and greets there. In fact, we're planning on going back sometime in November or sometime in the fall to do another like live recording. And more on that when we know more about it. But first things first, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza and Euro. They have brand new options for you. They have gluten-free crusts, vegan cheese, and as always, they have a lot of great local craft beers at reasonable prices. Now, Steph, don't they have a food truck?
They do have a food truck, and we all want to catch a ride in this food truck, like big time. Yeah. And I think they've done a few things so far that went very well, he said. Mm-hmm. And just to go back, though, the craft beer thing that you were talking about, I had some really good beer the last time I was there. I was like, okay. I think it was Tropicalia or something. I'd never had it before. And now that's like one of my favorite beers. So they have,
hell yeah.
I think that's what it was. But they have really great beers there. And Mike, he likes to bring you around the little taster. Let's take a little sip. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You know, maybe you don't know. He'll like, here, take a sip. And then you can get it if you want to. Mm. That's what I love about them.
I don't mind a little beer every now and then. A good tasty brew to go with your pizza. And hey, keep it in the family.
Just had a pizza.
Yeah, Dustin, let's keep it in the family. I was just about to say that. Now, someone in your family works there.
Yeah, my oldest son, Rylan, he's a server there. So when you walk in and you see, you know, a 6'5" dude come up and ask you what you want to eat, that's my son. He enjoys it. He loves the people there. It's a great atmosphere. You know, they've had long existing customers that come in there, you know, all the time. It's like a family. It's kind of like a cheer situation. He loves working there.
And he's bringing home free pizzas too, right?
Yeah, that's a perk from time to time. Yeah.
Mike Hall has been a supporter of Radio Labyrinth for a very long time, and we thank him for that. Mike and his lovely wife have always supported us, and couldn't find a nicer couple. And we would like everybody to patronize the restaurant, which is in Conyers, and maybe Dustin will be there. How about that? It's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com if you want to find out more about it. Look at the menu. And try it. I mean, it's good pizza. So
it's great pizza. Killer crust, killer cheese. He has great sauce. I mean, I haven't tried the vegan pizza yet, which I don't know. You know, I'm sure that Mike is going to make it wonderful,
right?
No matter what it is.
Does it have pepperoni on it?
No.
Oh.
It's vegan.
Oh.
They make vegan pepperoni.
I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure vegan pepperoni is delicious. But now on a vegan, can't you use Beyond Meat? And that is sort of like meat, but it isn't.
There's a lot more alternatives than there used to be. That's for sure.
You can use the Impossible Bat.
Don't bring Mike does not put bat in his pizza.
Mike does not want people thinking that he puts Impossible Bat in his pizza. So please, I mean, not even real bat, let alone Impossible Bat. Check out Atlanta Pizza in Nero. They're on Facebook, and they are, and the links are all here for you to click on and to go check it out. That's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
And we're back.
We are back, and there's a lot of news, a lot of good news, a lot of shows being renewed, and they're going to be coming back to a streaming service or maybe a television cable channel near you, but most likely streaming. First of all, have you guys seen the Book of Boba Fett trailer?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you excited?
Oh, it looked good.
Yeah, it did look good. That's one thing. It's like, oh, new Star Wars product. Boba Fett's in it. It's on Tatooine. I'm going to be watching that show.
I think we saw some Weequays too, so maybe W.R. Brown is one of them.
Yeah, I hope so. I would love to see him in anything. I just want him to keep getting work because he's so nice to us and comes on the show. But even bigger than W.R. Brown, there's going to be some flash dancing on Tatooine. Jennifer Beals is in there.
Yeah, and she's, you see her outfit?
Oh, she's one of those weird
penis head people.
Penis head. Well, no, doesn't she have the tentacle head?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Two penis head people.
When she pulls that cord and that blue milk falls on her from the ceiling. Yeah.
Heels is renewed for season 2 on Stars. And congratulations to Heels. I got to finish watching. I got to get Stars, or they need to put it when maybe it'll go on Netflix or something. Is it on Hulu? Is it on anything other than Stars?
No, it's just on Stars right now. They'll probably run the whole season. Yeah. And then push it over. It'd be Hulu, I would think, is who it would go to.
Yeah, somebody needs to stream it because I don't think a lot of people saw it on Stars, but enough saw it so they renewed it for another season, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was great first season.
I told you guys I liked that first episode. It wasn't what I was expecting, and that's kind of what made it compelling to me. I thought it was just going to be, you know, like a wrestling show, and it was going to be jocular, but these are real people with real issues. It's a family drama, so I dug it.
And Chris Bauer is awesome on it.
Yeah, Chris Bauer is fantastic. He's a great actor. I wish we could get him on the show.
Yeah, I've reached out to him, but he never messaged me back.
He doesn't like you. You think you're
we had Joel on, though. Maybe he'll come back on for season 2.
Well, maybe he will. If he enjoyed being on the show with us, we'll talk to him anytime.
Yeah.
I know that you've been talking to one of his other one of his directors recently. Hopefully,
that's the creator of Heels. I reached out to him on Twitter to see if I get any hits back from him.
Yeah, I think he follows us.
Oh yeah,
what's his name?
Michael Waldron is the dude that Michael, he's the creator of Heels.
Okay, yeah, see if we can get him on. Miracle Workers, the sitcom. It's an anthology series, but it's a comedy, and it's very funny. I remember I loved the first season, but I didn't go beyond that. So when season 4,
the first 3 seasons were written by Simon Rich, and they're the best. I think it's still funny now because Steve Buscemi is hilarious, whatever character he's playing.
Yeah.
And Daniel Radcliffe is great.
But they're going to have new writers on season 4?
Yeah, well, since Simon Rich left, they have different people doing, they have a different story every season. They have a different showrunner every season. So it's still fantastic. They just came off a Western series that they did that was very funny.
Yeah, that was season 3, right?
Oh, so it was season 3. So, yeah, the Simon Rich seasons are the first couple.
Well, I just want to know if I should get caught up during the hiatus.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, good. I love the fact that all the kids from Harry Potter are getting their own thing. I still want to watch. There's a show on Apple TV with Rupert Grint or however you say his name. I got to check that out.
Oh, that show was terrible.
Oh, it is? Okay, I won't watch it then. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia returns for season 15 on December 1st. And according to the article I read in Collider, they are taking on cancel culture, and they're going to be reviewing the pandemic here. The cool thing about it is it will become the longest-running live-action sitcom in television history with its 15th season. So that's awesome.
Nice. Well-deserved.
Yeah, I agree. Squid Game will compete as a drama rather than a limited series during award season. And I'm fine with that. I hope they win everything. That show was fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of shows, though, that drama roles, I think, are probably going to go to, you know, different shows. You know, now that I think about it, maybe it should be a limited series. But who knows? It might come back. There might be a season two or three or four or five. So you never know. I definitely want the old man to win something.
Yeah.
I think that if they compete for the Emmys, they should put all the actors in a series of death defying. Oh, no, they would be killed. So maybe not. So I have to compete.
Depends on the category.
Yeah, the Squid Game, the Squid Awards. If you lose, you're dead. So that's pretty much all of the latest news there. Now we're going to do next story. This is where we look at Twitter and various other places for all the stupid, salacious headlines. We're just going to read the headline. And after I read the headline, maybe Jeff, you can do a weird voice and say next story somehow. Just surprise us. Ready? Dune has a desert problem.
Next story.
Mr. Douglas, I happen to have here a genuine elk leather hat. Mr. Haney.
That bitch Carol Baskin is suing Netflix over Tiger King 2.
And she lost. Oh, but next story.
Kim Kardashian is intrigued by Pete Davidson.
It's cock. Next story.
Speaking of Pete Davidson and his cock, a tattooed Pete Davidson dildo is on its way just in time for Christmas and horny fans.
Nice. Next story.
And lastly, Jason Momoa confirms he's tested positive for COVID-19.
Next story.
There's no more stories.
No, that's too bad, though. Was he not vaccinated?
I don't know. I didn't read the story. Because it's just headlines.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming since he's an actor and he has
in the industry, you'd feel like he'd have to be vaccinated.
He's not an idiot eating clay like Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers and his stupid hippie girlfriend. Have you seen that?
No.
Eating clay?
Yeah, Shailene Woodley or whatever, however you say her name. She brushes her teeth with clay. And she's like a hippie dippy. And I guess he's unvaccinated. They're saying he's unvaccinated, but I also said that he says he was. I don't care. Anyway, that's the, you know, again, next story. There's next no story. More story. All right. So let's talk about what we watched and do our staff picks. Jeff, you go first.
I watched Joyride, the Bobcat Goldthwait Dana Gould movie that we were in the audience for.
Can you see us?
I could see you. I mean, I could see me for 1 second. I looked for you, and right where I thought you should be, I could not see you. Maybe you'll see yourself if you watch it.
Well, we were right there, right up there by the stage, so maybe they edited me out. Where is Joyride? Did you have to rent it?
Yeah, it's video on demand.
Okay, which means you stole it.
And there is a link for that in the Radio Shack.
Okay, cool.
And I've reached out to their people, and I'm waiting to hear back. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll be able to get either one or the other of them on, or both.
I don't like that guy.
No, I don't know. Maybe now that it's out, they don't care about trying to promote it anymore. We'll see what happens.
I don't know why. Did he write you back himself, or did he tell you to write his PR people?
No, it was the PR people.
Yeah, see. I don't know. Some people we can get to say yes without having to go through that rigmarole. Most people don't. Like, I want to get, maybe not Michael Imperioli, but I'd really love to talk to Steven Sharippa about their new book that's coming out. But they're doing a massive press tour, so I imagine he'd go.
When they first started that podcast, I tried reaching out to him a bunch of times, but never heard back. And the people that he said on his website were his publicists weren't his publicists anymore. So what happened with that?
Well, he followed me back on Twitter, and I don't want to abuse that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, will you come on my show? I did that to Marilyn Ricegoob, and she never wrote me back, but who cares?
But anyway, Joyride's good. Bobcat directed it, and it tells a real good story about the crash and everything. And and how the, I didn't realize that they, when they first started out in comedy, they hated each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of backstory and there's a little bit of Robin Williams talk and stuff. It's very good. It's worth renting. I watched the What We Do in the Shadows finale. Did you guys both watch that?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah.
So a little spoiler alert, little
spoiler alert.
Yeah. Baby Colin Robinson.
Goodbye, Guillermo. Guillermo got fucked.
Yeah.
That was a great twist. I didn't see that coming. So I enjoyed that at the end. He was he was set to travel the world with Nandor and then fucked.
It fit the show though.
Yeah.
Totally. Their luck. Yeah.
Yeah. And when the show comes back, I bet you they'll be in the house and they'll recap what happened when they were out of town and Colin Robinson will be there.
Right. Or he'll still be a baby. I don't know.
Oh, he'll probably be full grown. He had the full head.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched Halloween Kills on Halloween.
Boring, right?
Yeah, it was so boring and it wasn't funny at all. Like the last one was funny.
Yeah, the last one was great.
What happened to the humor?
It was like a kill count video.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's going to be one more. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't suck like this one did.
Yeah, I guess this whole movie was to set up this next one, but I felt like something was definitely missing. Yeah, anyway, that's on Peacock. I watched the latest Foundation morning show. That got real big. I won't give away any spoilers on that, but somebody major died. Mm-hmm. A major character.
Yeah, I know who died.
Who died? Invasion, I'm still watching that. I watched all of season 2 of Lock and Key on Netflix, which it was kind of anticlimactic. It was a decent season, and I liked Joe Hill, so I'll keep watching it. But I don't know, it didn't feel like it had a bunch of stakes for another season.
He's a spitting image of his dad, by the way, Joe Hill.
Yeah, he is. You can see him on that Eli Roth's History of Horror.
Yeah, I'm finally getting caught up on that, and he's good on it. It's just weird.
He looks just like his dad from when his dad had the beard in like the 70s. I watched Doctor Who on BBC America on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who, and it's, you know, good special effects and stuff. They're trying to go out with a bang, I think, and do a good job for their final season. She's down to just one companion now.
Oh, okay.
So they're making some course corrections, but I'll be glad when the new doctor comes and the new showrunner or the old showrunner takes back over.
I want it to be a wisecracking, kind of like the Chris Eggleston to Matt Smith era.
Yeah. Hopefully.
I don't get what I want.
Fear the Walking Dead. That was finally a good episode. David Carradine was back on with the Dharma and Greg lady. I forget what her name is. You know who I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They were the only two characters in the whole episode. It was kind of like a bottle episode, which I think is probably because of COVID, but it was finally a good one. They're like stuck in a nuclear fallout shelter. Walking Dead World Beyond, I'm still watching because it's the final season of that. It was okay. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That was funny.
Did you go out and buy some new towels to replace your ratty towels after you watched it?
Yeah.
Your towels are funny. So ratty, Tim.
I know.
I watched the Manning Brothers Monday Night Football, which
I finally remembered to do that. That was so much fun.
Yeah, it's like a podcast, the way they have different people on. It's been fun to watch them whenever they do it.
It's Monday Night Football Theater 3000. I don't totally dig it. With Peyton Manning, they showed him eating.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they got shit for it, but I thought it was funny. I love John Stewart at the beginning.
Yeah. And
who else was on it? Michael Strahan?
Michael Irving.
Josh Allen.
Yeah. It was a good episode, but the Giants lost.
Yeah, well.
World Series I watched until Freddie Freeman hit that home run. Then I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Then my staff pick is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast this week. Colin Quinn is on.
Yeah, speaking of Robin Williams, there's a good Robin Williams Colin Quinn story. Have you listened to it yet?
Not all of it yet.
Yeah, it's a good episode. He's funny as shit, and they really talk about a lot of funny stuff.
Oh, yeah. Great episode. I guess I'll go next. I went to the theater and saw The French Dispatch with Mike TV and Mr. Mike TV last Sunday. That was enjoyable. It's a nice Wes Anderson movie. Bill Murray's fantastic in it. It feels like you're watching a play. There's animation in it. It's just, I would recommend it. Timothy Chalamet is in it. Is that how you say it? Chalamet?
Yeah.
A lot of people are in it. Benicio Del Toro, fantastic.
Redbox so, will be happy.
Yeah, well, I saw the Redbox troll there, but he was too busy masturbating. we watched It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, for nostalgia's sake. I always forget that there's a scene in it where Snoopy is in World War One fighting Germans. That was great. We watched it with Gil, not that he'll retain it, but it's a nice, you know, starting traditions.
Did he get any candy?
Oh, we did have trick-or-treaters. No, we didn't give him candy.
No, but did he go out and trick-or-treat any?
No, because it was shitty weather on the night our town had it, but Caitlin took him out to near Douglasville to a friend of hers where they had trick-or-treaters, and he was in a lobster outfit. She put him in a big pot. It's hilarious. He looked cute as hell. What We Do in the Shadows, Curb. I love the Don Jr. character, and spoiler alert, he blew his Netflix deal, but who cares? The Sinner is trudging along. I really enjoy that show. I've always liked the actor, but I really like that show. I think this season it's, you know, right at its course. I watched the first episode of Invasion, and it was cool to me because there was so much character building of the main people and a lot of good acting, and the story was paced well. So thank you guys for staying on me about that. I enjoy it. I'm going to keep watching it. My staff pick is Woke Up This Morning. It is a book about The Sopranos and their podcast by Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarippa. I'm waiting to get my autographed copy that I pre-ordered like a month and a half ago. So it's supposed to come this week. But if you're a Sopranos fan and you've never listened to their podcast, it's always a good time for a rewatch. Steph's doing that right now. She's watching and or listening and watching in conjunction with the podcast. So I would check that out.
Really watched that much this week. But I watched Batman, The Long Halloween on HBO Max.
How old is that? Is that brand new?
Not brand new. I think it's like a year, 2 years old.
Okay.
But it's in two parts, but it's that classic DC animation. Okay. Like we were thinking the Aquaman was going to be like the
Aquaman show.
Yeah. I kind of got hyped for the Aquaman thing till I saw it. Now I wanted to see something that was a little more, you know, closer to that. So, you know, this is really cool. It's done in that, you know, it looks like a comic book, and that's exactly, you know, not trying to be anything more or anything less, just an animated comic book. And it's really good because the Joker is a really good character in this one. And it's in two parts, and that's on HBO Max. Cool. I also kept watching Blacklist, and I won't go on about that. But my staff pick is Inside Job on Netflix. Have you guys seen it yet? The animated show?
Mm-mm. Oh, no. I have. It keeps popping up in my recommendations because I watch, like, all the F is for Family and Big Mouth.
Yeah, all their animated stuff. Yeah. This is from Alex Hirsch. He did Gravity Falls, and he's worked on The Simpsons. He's worked on, you know, a bunch of different stuff. And Tim, I think you'll really dig it.
Yeah, it's like conspiracy.
It's the shadow government that runs all the conspiracy theories in the world.
Cool.
And it's the main character is Lizzie Kaplan. Most people saw her in Castle Rock. She played in season two. She played the
Annie. A lot of people saw a lot of her in True Blood.
True Blood.
Yeah, True Blood as well. Now her dad, who's the crazy conspiracy theorist that started this all, is voiced by Christian Slater, and he is really good. And I had to go look it up because his voice was like eating into my head. I was like, who is that? Because I didn't expect it to be him. But he does a good job. It's got Clark Duke. Funny, you know, he's a funny guy. Tisha Campbell does some voices. John DiMaggio.
Yeah.
DiMaggio.
That's Bender.
Bender. Yeah, he's in there. Bobby Lee. The cast is crazy as far as the voices go. Ron Funches is in it as well.
I love Ron Funches. Let me interrupt you for a second. Did you guys see that the Chris Pratt is going to be voicing Shaggy?
Yeah, he's just getting all the voiceover work ever since he did the Lego movie, I think.
I saw Billy West tweet about it. It's like, you know, Billy West can do Shaggy. Matthew Lillard is Shaggy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't need Chris Pratt doing everything. I like Chris Pratt, but come on, you know, if you're going to do those, give people who can do the original voice.
I mean, you got the Luigi or the Mario. That should have been enough.
Yeah. That's just talking like it is. Huh? No,
where I can't hear him doing that either, which cracks me up.
He's a great actor. I like him, but I think leave room for the voice guys. Like Billy West isn't washed up. He's great. And, you know, again, Matthew Lillard's also good as Shaggy. So,
and don't forget the original Shaggy, Casey Kasem.
Hello, America. Once again, it's time for your favorite pastime. Which one will they choose? Play along with this week's edition of Views or Snooze. Take it away, Jeff.
Dexter comes back this week on Showtime.
Really? I don't have Showtime. How am I going to watch Dexter?
You got to get it, man.
I've got Showtime. I'll watch Dexter.
Yeah, it's Views for me if I get it. I saw people are bitching about it already, but I don't care.
Yeah, I love the show.
Review copies have gotten out.
And I'll wait to watch it myself. Those things are very, I don't trust reviews on shows like that.
Yeah. I want to see how they redeem themselves from that horrible series finale.
Where he has that fake beard and he looks like Michael Pare at the end of any of the Cruisers with the fake beard.
That's the Views for me. That new Western came on Netflix this week, The Harder They Fall. This is Idris Elba, Jonathan Majors. Western, it's getting a lot of hype.
If it's good, if I see a lot of people saying they like it, I'll check it out. But
yeah, I'm going to use it.
Right now, it's a snooze.
When I'm only going to snooze it until I hear something different. But I saw the preview, and I don't know. I immediately just didn't care.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a chance. And this one, I don't know. I'm on the fence on this one. The Head of the Class reboot. Mm-hmm. It's HBO Max this week.
Yeah.
Like, Tim, it's probably a snooze for you because it's like a all new gender swapped.
Yeah, it's a hard snooze. I don't know why they have to go to the well for that one.
And was Robin Gibbons playing the Hessman role?
No, she's a mom of one of the students. And I don't think she's going to be a regular on the series. I think she'll just do little bit parts.
Both the leads in that series, Howard Hessman and then the Scottish guy, I don't remember, were, what was his name? Billy Corgan? No, not Billy Corgan. You know what I'm talking about, the guy that replaced
Billy Howard. Connolly. Billy Connolly.
Both those guys were fantastic. It was a great show, but it really is stuck in an era. Wasn't that guy from who played Ricky in Better Off Dead, wasn't he on that show?
He's sitting in the back of the room on the computer all the whole time.
Looking at pictures of women's feet. His name isn't Campbell, it's Dan Schneider. I've seen a lot of him lately.
Bill Lawrence is the executive producer, and he's I love him from Ted Lasso, so I was willing to give it a chance, but I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's for me. It seems like maybe it's for more of these people that are into the teen sitcom stuff.
Yeah.
Snooze.
Yeah, maybe it's for a younger generation.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week with a recap of CusaCon and some of the maybe some audio if we can get it, but we're looking forward to that. Hope you can join us if you're listening today. And if you're listening in 2 years on HBO Max, well, you missed out. Another CusaCon in 2023. But until that time, please remember to keep it in. Here at Radio Labyrinth, we are supported by Patreon. That's right. And our top Patreon donors are called producers, and we have a slew of them, and I want to read their names and thank them right now because we haven't done that in a while. First of all, Chris Chandler, thank you very much. And if you guys want to weigh in on any of these people, please jump in.
The former quarterback, right, for the Falcons. It's not that Chris Chandler.
No, it's not Crystal Chandelier. It is not Crystal Chandelier. But it is Chris Chandler. It's also not WSB's Chris Chandler. It's a different Chris Chandler. There's lots of Chris Chandlers, as it turns out.
Our Patreon's the best Chris Chandler.
It is the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the best Brett Perkins in the country is also one of our Patreon members.
Big buttery Brett.
Big buttery Brett. Butter him up. Todd Ellis, thank you very much for donating. Roby Neely, who you can hear from time to time on the always consistent Mike TV podcast, which is on our channel, hosted by Lisa Krause and Dean.
Dean.
Yeah.
And shout out to Roby too, because he was just in a car accident. He's okay.
I saw that.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That sucks. But no, Dean and Lisa do a good job when they actually do the show, and Roby is a good contributor to that show. So check it out. If you've never listened, go through our little back archive, and they do really, 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 really deep dive. Another Patreon producer, Tim Slayton, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Brian Smith, who he and his fiance are getting married in October on Halloween, and is a Halloween themed wedding. I hope I get to go. But if not, I wish them the best. They're great, great peeps, and they're big supporters of Dragon Con. Usually see them down there. Didn't get to this year. John Sutherland, a great dude. We've known him for quite a while. Been a supporter for a very long time. John, thank you very much. He got me a real cool gift one year. I drew a Kiss drawing for him, and he got it framed or put in glass. It was really cool.
He was great in MASH too.
Yes, he was. He was really good in MASH. Mike D. Thank you, Mike D. We've always said it that way. Emily Hine Warren, who will be joining us because she donated to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the WSB Carathon. And one of the packages was you get to sit in and watch us do Radio Labyrinth on Zoom. So she'll be doing that very soon.
And because she's Emily Hine Warren.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Buck Monterey, want to thank you very much. Another longtime producer.
I always feel like he played Archie on All in the Family.
You think? Matt Carter, thank you very much. Matt Carter, another longtime sponsor and also
a sweet, 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 wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Mike Hall, who we mentioned, he's also a sponsor. And longtime donor, Eric Malmstrom. He's always funny on social media and supports us and interacts with us. And last but not least, Mr. Chad Shepard, who gave us this, the Red Box Troll, another longtime donor, former intern of mine, coworker, really nice
chap.
And he's awesome. And
there we go.
Yeah, look at that pop out like a green penis. if you'd like to be a Patreon member, we have different levels, and those levels change from time to time. But what's always consistent is if you come in as a producer, that's $25 a month. You off the bat, you get to pick one of our T-shirts. So now would be a good time because in a couple of weeks, well, while you're watching this, odds are we're going to have a new T-shirt or something that you want, and those links will all be made available to you. So thank you guys, and we appreciate it very much.
Please hang up and try again.